Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock.
Come on. Thank you all for being here. And for all of you tuning in across the country.
This is Primetime on Draft Week.
Brought to you by A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get $2,000 off a new energy-efficient system now through May 31st. Call or visit aeheatingandcooling.com.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080.
That's a tribute to you.
The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Thursday. It's your sports bros, Rob. That's me. And Andrew Nemec is right over there. Filling in for Big Suk today. Suk missing the draft. I can't believe he loves the draft. I can't believe he's missing the draft. But I don't know. Italy's kind of cool too, I guess. Fakink.
If you're gonna, is that what we're announcing? Every time there's a pick that we have to cut, stop talking, and go to the pick. Is that the sound?
No, there was a different request this year.
Do we have a sound?
Yes.
I love Tesla.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. I love Tesla.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what we're doing. So cool. When you hear that, shut up.
I mean, we could. This is kind of a good draft chime.
Fakink.
It's not bad.
I mean, so people get up there and they're going fakink. I'll leave it up to you.
I mean, if people are getting up there to announce picks, they're saying
fakink. Although it does, a lot of people are saying it sounds like the F word. So
it does sound a lot like the F word.
I mean, I don't know.
It's called sports.
But Tesla's wrong too. So yeah. Either way,
let's go with. We're gonna go with Trump. We're gonna give it to our fearless leader today.
I love Tesla.
That's gonna be it.
Can we pivot if the momentum for Buck and I starts to go really the wrong way?
If we need rally caps, we're going with the kink.
So, Goodall's coming out on a bike.
Oh my God. What is happening?
Why is he doing that?
So they're getting ready to start, and Roger Goodell has a bicycle. He is riding a bicycle on the stage.
That's the Green Bay training camp thing, right? Where they have the rookies ride the bikes to camp, or they ride with the kids.
What? There are multiple men riding bikes.
Including
on
Lil
stage.
Wayne.
Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell.
Who are these people?
Wheezy.
I mean, that's Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne's having a little trouble with that bike.
Lil Wayne's having a little trouble with that life.
All right. I'm already being distracted. Okay, hold on. So the Titans pick first. First time they have picked first, Titans or Oilers, since 1978, Earl Campbell.
Okay.
Browns 2, Giants 3, Patriots 4, Jags 5. Before we get going, let's get the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number 5.
All right, the Mariners won their first series in Boston since 2014, beating the Red Sox 4-3 today. 6 innings from Wu, 2 ribbies from Garver. The Mariners are now 14-11, just a half game from the AL West lead.
You know what? Not bad. They won every series on that road trip, and they went 6-3.
Yeah, they've won five straight series. Your Gigantes won again, 6-5 over the Brewers.
Ooh, they were down 5-2.
Royals swept a doubleheader from the Rockies. The White Sox shut out the Twins. Boy, the Twins are bad, 9-16. A couple games, only one actually in progress. Into the fifth, it's Baltimore 2, Nationals 1.
Number 4.
Shannon Sharpe announces he is temporarily stepping away from ESPN while he handles a $50 million lawsuit accusing him of rape. Now, the latest on him today is that Sharpe's attorney admitted this, that Sharpe did have an incident where he choked a female coworker while he was at Fox. Not sexual, just choked her the old-fashioned way. But he said that the network resolved the issue. Sharpe denies that the incident involved choking, but there was an incident. We know nothing more than that. But
what is it with so many dudes who are kind of bad dudes off the field, off the court in their playing career, becoming analysts? Like, Michael Irvin slit a man's throat in the Cowboys locker room. Not allegedly. That happened. And he's an analyst. Barkley got into multiple scuffles with fans. He's a good dude.
He's a good dude, but
like,
he threw someone through a bar window.
Randy Moss, known to be not the best dude in the world.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them. Bill Romanowski for a long time was.
He was.
I openly used the N-word all the time.
But isn't that... It's probably about the same percentage as bad dudes in the league, you know? It's like,
but
it's
they're getting those jobs. Like, it's weird how many of those guys you're like, man, that guy wasn't a great person when he was in the league. And you're like, oh, well, now he's the face
of
Fox.
Well, they clearly don't
vet him.
The face
of ESPN. Right.
That much. We know.
It's weird.
Five-star prospect, USC commit, Elijah Arenas, son of Gilbert Arenas, in a medically induced coma after a nasty car accident. He was in a Tesla Cybertruck. He hit a fire hydrant and a tree. Drugs and alcohol, not a factor. They just say he lost control of the vehicle. It is a contusion of the pelvis for Warrior star Jimmy Butler. His status for Game 3 against Houston is unknown. Defensive Player of the Year award handed out today goes to Cavaliers' Evan Mobley, first Cav ever to win it. In the playoffs tonight, we have stalling.
Pistons are winning 45-41 over the Knicks. It's a pivotal Game 3.
Ooh. Thunder Grizzlies game 3 is later, and then the nightcap is Nuggets Clippers game 3. That series tied at 1.
The Thunder Grizzlies series has to be the least competitive postseason event I've seen in a long time.
So far.
I mean, it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Former Seahawk receiver Tyler Lockett is headed to the Titans, signs with Tennessee on a 1-year $4 million deal. Could get up to $6 million. It improves the receivers room that already included Calvin Ridley and Van Jefferson. And that, of course, for number one pick, or at least allegedly number one pick, Cam Ward.
Likely.
Yeah, so it was like minus 4,000 that he's...
It's minus 20,000.
20,000?
If you bet... Is it, what is it? If you bet 2,000 bucks, you get 10 bucks?
100, I think.
No. 10.
20. If you bet 20,000, you'd win 100.
That's
if you bet 2,000, you'd win
10 bucks.
Yeah.
And somebody did. Somebody bet 20,000 bucks.
There are people that like those kinds of bets because it's like,
well, it's going to happen.
It's a
$300.
Yeah, I mean, in the event that it doesn't, you look
like it's a huge risk, it feels like. It's like when people bet the one seeds to always advance every year until the 1 year they don't. And they're like, oh, that wasn't worth it enough.
Let's do it. That's it, baby. Shut it from the rooftops.
America's number one fighting force.
Number 1.
Number 1.
The NFL draft, just about to get underway. We have our draft beatnik in here, Andrew Nemec. His sports pants are tight. His draft pants overfloweth. And we are going to take a break. The Titans are on the clock, about 8 minutes left, so it's a good time to take a break. And when we come back, we'll get into it. Titans, Browns, Giants, the top three. The Hot 5 at 5 is brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. 19 locations across Oregon and Washington. Now in Lacamas Square in Vancouver. Find a location near you at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. All right, we'll get into the NFL draft. The picks about to get underway. Next, you'll hear him here on 1080 The Fan. Both of these two donkeys I'm in here with are sweating it already.
I can't wait to tell you about Buck's bet, but Andrew Nemec is here. We're going to go to the podium momentarily for the Titans. Number one pick should be Cam Ward. You're sweating because it sounds like the Browns are going to trade down to the Jags spot with Jacksonville, and that's going to blow up your Ashton Gentry to the Jags bet.
And my Travis Hunter number two to the Browns.
I love Tesla.
Still hit it at two, but in general, but oh boy.
With the first pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Cameron Ward, quarterback, Miami.
Whoa. No way.
So, as we said, he made the right call a year ago, going back to school.
Oh, here we go, Buck. Who will he hug first? It's Dad! Bugley had a bet on who Cam Ward would hug first. Dad, mom, or girlfriend.
Adam Schefter reporting the Browns have traded the number two overall pick to the Jaguars for 5, 38, a fourth round pick, and a first round pick next year.
Damn, dude. Really? Yes. Say that again?
The Browns are trading the number two overall pick and a fourth round pick and a sixth round pick this year to the Jags. For this year's first rounder, next year's first rounder, the number 36th overall pick, and a fourth round pick.
Damn.
So their first and second and fourth and next year's first.
I'd do that too if I'm Cleveland. You don't like Travis Hunter? Why not? That's a good move.
And here's the thing. I'm not sold, and Buck and I have talked about this, I'm not sold on Travis Hunter. I like him. The comps for him are essentially Garrett Wilson as a wide receiver, or if he's a corner, he's a good corner. But is that worth two firsts, a second to trade up to get the number two pick?
No, I don't know why the Jags would do that.
And he's 6 foot, 185 pounds. He wants to play both sides of the ball. He could potentially double his chances of getting hurt. And oh yeah, by the way, he was banged up the entire time in the Big 12. It's a lot harder to stay healthy in the NFL playing both ways than it is in the Big 12. I think we can safely say the NFL is more physical than the Big 12.
Yeah.
And Travis Hunter was hurt a lot in college.
I know Suk doesn't like him either, but I'm just going to ask a question on the flip side of things. Let's say he works out on both sides. Let's say he's actually really freaking good and they do play him two ways. Does that revolutionize the NFL?
It has extreme value, but you also have to ensure that he's healthy. And if he gets hurt, like everybody's like, well, he's exactly like Shohei Ohtani. Awesome. You know, the difference between Shohei Ohtani and Travis Hunter is Ohtani got hurt and couldn't pitch anymore, but it's like, okay, now he's just a hitter for now. If Travis Hunter gets hurt at corner or receiver, it's not like, oh, I'll just play the other one.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, let's say he doesn't get hurt. Let's say it works out. Like, that's pretty revolutionary, dude.
It's amazing.
I mean, I know we had Dion.
There is a level to it that's amazing. He also played in the Big 12, which is the worst Power 4 conference in all of college football. And he was good, but he got beat as a corner. He technically has a lot of work to do. As a receiver, he's not yet a very polished route runner. He's got work to do there as well. So, yes, he has potential to be a revolutionary player. He really does. And that's the upside that obviously the Jags are betting on. They go, hey, you know, we need a corner and we need a wide receiver one. You know what we could do? We could get that in one pick. Now, they've traded two first-rounders for it. But if you grade him out as a first-round wide receiver and a first-round corner, you go, okay, there's our two first-round picks, a first-round corner and a first-round receiver, and we got it in one player. But again, I do worry about him getting hurt.
You think he's happy he's going to Jacksonville and not Cleveland?
I don't think at corner he wanted to tackle consistently in the AFC North the likes of Derrick Henry. And I think the fact that he's in the AFC South, which is warm, and he's in Florida. And
a little better.
I bet he feels a little bit better about it.
Okay, so let's go back to the number one pick, Cam Ward. Who do you comp him to, Cam Ward?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, we saw him a lot in college. Very good. Big arm, right?
Plus arm.
Okay.
Plus arm. What I like about him is he'll throw from different arm angles. He actually reads things pretty well. Everybody likes to think, because frankly, he's an African-American quarterback that can throw while he's running, that he's super mobile. And that there's some truth to that. However, he's also really good at processing. He's really capable at getting to his second and third read. And he showed it at all three stops, at Incarnate Word at Washington State and Miami. He's a good processor in the pocket. He also is really good at avoiding the rush, getting to the outside, buying time, and making throws. What you worry about with him, and I do like him. He would have been 1-1 for me in this draft. I like him. I grade him out as, if he were in last year's draft, he probably would have been my QB4, maybe QB5, which was a loaded quarterback class. So that's still a top 10 pick in most years. What I don't like is his desire to gunsling and force throws. And he has two or three throws a game where you go, why on God's green earth did you throw that ball?
Yeah. I'm seeing one draft, whose Bleacher Report had him compared to Steve McNair.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's reasonable. I don't think he has the arm of McNair. McNair had a big arm. Cam Ward's a good football player. I mean, he really is. He has been a gunslinger who's had success, and everywhere he's been, he's won. That's a huge check in his category for the positives. What people say who really like him is, yes, he tries to do too much, but he was at Incarnate Word, Washington State, and Miami. What's the only thing those three programs have in common in the entire world other than they play college football? They had terrible defenses. He knew everywhere he was at that he had to put up 49 points a game to have any chance to win. So yes, he was always trying to make a play. You know who else did that in college? And he's not a similar player, but just this one area. Patrick Mahomes. That was what everybody said about Patrick Mahomes. He's great, got a big arm, does well in the pocket. He can make all the throws. He's good out of structure, but he makes too many mistakes. And when they interviewed Mahomes in the draft, he was like, yeah, I was at Texas Tech, guys. We had to put up 63 a game, so I forced some things. And Andy Reid said, I can harness that. I can kind of hone that in, take away those plays, and make him a great player. If you take away Cam Ward's mistakes, if you can get that down to half or one a game, he's going to be an upper half quarterback in the league.
So he's thrown to Lockett, who the Titans got today, and Calvin Ridley, I think, is there still, and Van Jefferson, at least for now. So Cam Ward, number one to the Titans. Their first number one pick, Oilers, of course, since 1978 in Earl Campbell. So the pick is in for the Jags. This will be Travis Hunter. They just showed the war room. They're all fired up in the Jacksonville war room. I don't know if any, like, they're going to be widely panned for this, are they not?
I love Tesla.
Trading up for Travis Hunter?
I think there are people who think that he's generational. While so maybe not. I think you're going to split decision.
To celebrate
here,
the 32 young men entering the NFL.
Former Oregon Duck making an appearance.
I'm honored to take a moment to recognize a player who's made a profound impact on and off the field. The Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award, presented by Nationwide, recognizes one player each year who best represents greatness and compassion both on and off the field and in the community. Tonight, we are proudly joined by the 2024 Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year, Eric Armstead. Thank you.
First off, Duval!
Duval!
Let's go! Let's go!
I want to say thank you to the commissioner. Thank you to the Payton family and the NFL and Nationwide. And also, too, tonight I want to encourage each player embarking on the NFL journey to identify a passion close to their heart and act upon it. Use your platform to make your community, the league, and this world a better place. As we remember Walter Payton, strive to leave a positive legacy of your own. Thank you. We have a trade.
No.
The Cleveland Browns have traded the second pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And with the second pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Travis Hunter, wide receiver, defensive back from Colorado.
All right, so Hunter in his pink suit with some sort of weird strap across the chest. He is going to Jacksonville.
And he hugged both his girlfriends. No.
That's his mom.
I think that's his mom.
I like Travis. I got to be honest with you. I like him. I didn't know much about him until, you know, you watch him at Colorado and then the Heisman ceremony. I thought he seemed like a delightful young man. I don't know. I'm kind of rooting for him. There's a lot of people, you know, tearing him down and think he can't do this or can't do that. I'm rooting
for
him.
They like to drink their haterade and eat their hater tots.
This is going
to
be an interesting experiment.
I think people have combined the flashiness and some of the things that Shadur and Dion have said and done, and they tie that to Travis Hunter.
I think that's right.
Name me one thing Travis Hunter ever did. I mean, even on the field, he didn't talk a lot of smack. You didn't see him getting into it. He just played really good football. And not only that, but you know how many times we talk about how cool it would be if somebody just went off the beaten path? Like, what if the number one quarterback in the nation just went to Oregon State and just tried to, like, do his own thing and win somewhere new? The dude went to Jackson State and carved his own path. And from that, from going to Jackson State as a high school kid, and you could say he was the number one recruit in America. I've covered the number one recruit in America a number of times, and they haven't necessarily panned out. He went from being the number one recruit in the nation, went to Jackson State, to winning the Heisman at Colorado.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It really is.
And if you just take a moment to step back and appreciate what he did, you know, like, there's been drama around his girlfriend. There's been drama around Dion. There's been drama around Shadur. There hasn't really been any about him other than how exciting is it that he plays both ways. And I am rooting for him. I hope that my analysis of him, that he's maybe at best going to be the 15th best receiver in the league and a top 20 corner. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he ends up being a star, and I hope he is the Shohei Ohtani of the NFL, because that would be really cool for the league, frankly.
Couldn't agree more. Well, very well said. So that now puts the Giants on the clock, and we think the Giants are going with Carter.
Yes.
So that's
Abdul Carter.
I mean,
Who's my number one player in the draft?
Yeah,
I love Abdul Carter.
He seems like one of those guys, and every year there's these guys that even dumbasses like me can look at him and go, that's going to be a good NFL player. He's one of those guys.
I would be really shocked if he wasn't really good. I mean, it would be weird if we went like, man, I can't believe that guy busted out of the league in 3 years. Like, at the least, he's going to play 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, as long as health, you know, pending health and everything. He's going to play 6, 7, 8 years and be a productive player. He's just a really good football player. And when you look at this edge class, you know, Mike Green from Marshall, grades really high in PFF. One, he played at Marshall, so the competition wasn't great. Two, he was accused of sexual assault twice. You look at Shamar Stewart, defensive lineman edge. Unbelievable testing. Guess what? He didn't produce at all. And you look at this edge class and you can go down the board. Jalen Walker, kind of played a hybrid linebacker slash edge role and was good at both, but wasn't spectacular. You're betting on the athleticism. When you look at Abdul Carter, there isn't a hole to poke. He was a great football player at Penn State. He was highly productive. He's healthy. Everywhere he's been, people have, you know, whether it's high school or college, they say he's a great kid. The only knock on him is his outfit tonight, because he wore a suit, and the suit, you know how you get those covers for a suit, that it's almost down to his knees. His suit looks like, it's even shiny.
It looks like a suit cover.
It looks like a suit cover with a zipper down the middle.
Okay.
So it's like, well, I'm not real sure what that is. So questionable decision making. Thank God he's not a quarterback.
He's doing bits.
He's a good player. Now, this is going to locally, if you're looking for the local tie here, a lot of people say this pick absolutely unequivocally puts Kayvon Thibodeau
on the
trade market. I did not like Kayvon at all coming out. If you really dug deep with Oregon, like, everybody said the right things. Like, he was a team captain. He was forced to be a team captain by the coaching staff. The players voted. He didn't get voted a team captain. They went, you have to put him on there. It's going to kill his draft stock if he's not a captain. And he had multiple teammates who hated him because of his personality.
Yeah, well, he seems like kind of a lot. He seems like a handful.
The other thing that was bad with Kayvon is Kayvon was great in big moments. Kayvon against Idaho is going to get his sack, and he goes, I got my sack. I'm in the box sheet. But if they run the ball, he's not going to hold the edge and force the edge. You know, he's not willing to do a lot of the dirty work.
He's been pretty good in the
NFL. He has been bad. He's done exactly, and people are going to say he had a double-digit sack season. He's done exactly what he did at Oregon. He got his sacks. He gets his sack, and call it a day. And he's done that in the NFL repeatedly. The year that he had double-digit sacks, PFF graded him as one of the worst defenders on the Giants team.
Really?
Oh, because all he did was get his sacks, and then the rest of the time didn't really care.
It seems the Giants think that too, because they signed Brian Burns and they're drafting Abdul
and
Carter.
Someone might take the flyer and go, you know, we're going to bet on the athleticism.
Someone will.
We're going to bet on the maturity. He had a double-digit sack season.
He's got Raiders written all over him.
He does. And, you know, I could even see the Niners saying, we'll give you a fifth-round pick. Okay, Kayvon,
I love Tesla.
You only come in on 3rd and 7. That's the only time we ever play you. Get your sack.
The New York Giants select Abdul Carter, defensive end, Penn State.
All right, as expected, Abdul Carter to the Giants at 3. That puts the Patriots on the clock, and they are linked to Campbell, the offensive lineman from LSU, who I'll ask you about real quick before we break. But Campbell is another guy who's kind of interesting because the Patriots have liked him all along. But I was reading that he has, like, some of the shortest arms for an offensive lineman ever.
So he doesn't have the shortest arms. His arms actually check out. It's shoulder to shoulder. He is wingspan.
Oh, okay.
The shortest offensive tackle wingspan in modern history.
Really? Really?
And what's weird, Willie Lampkin is a guy in this draft who's become kind of a media darling because he's 5'11", 285 pounds. Willie Lampkin has a longer wingspan.
Wow. And so what, I mean, obviously that hurts him.
So what does that do as an offensive lineman? When you're an offensive lineman, you are at your strongest when you can square someone up. And the wider, we saw this with Jackson Powers Johnson recently locally. He's so wide. Good luck getting around him. You're in his core strength zone because he's, you know, you're squared up. So he gets, guys get to the side of him a lot. He's really good and where people like him. He's in bad position on tape more often than you'd think for the number one offensive tackle. But he's so used to having that thin frame where people get outside his frame that he's like a maestro of getting back to square. Hmm. So people say, okay, yeah, he's not always in the best position on tape. And when you watch him in the SEC, a lot of guys, if you just freeze frame the tape, you go, oh, he's burnt. But he's really good at kind of re-squaring you and winning the rep. So in the NFL, is that ability going to carry over? Or in the NFL, if I get by you, I'm an NFL defensive end. I'm not just an SEC defensive end. You're toast. The tape is not as good as people think here on Will Campbell. There's a lot to like. He loves football. He may end up being a 10-year guard. Most of the time, centers call out blitz packages and what's going on in front of them. Will Campbell actually did that for LSU. He's like a football savant. So that's probably what the Patriots love about him and go, hey, if he doesn't work out, we're probably getting a 5-time All-Pro or 5-time Pro Bowl guard or even center. But the chance that he sticks at left tackle, it's very much a coin flip.
That's Andrew Nemec, 1080 The Fan draft expert. We are going to take a break. Patriots should be drafting Campbell next. We'll find out when we return. NFL draft coverage continuing here on 1080 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Doing bits.
It looks
I
like
love Tesla.
NFL draft.
Yeah, it does.
The New England Patriots select Will Campbell. Tackle. LSU.
All right, so as expected, Patriots going offensive line. I would say that it doesn't look, you know, it doesn't look bad, though. I'm just going to go ahead and say, I mean, it's
different. It's a little I don't know, it's like Neo from The Matrix meets the iced out draft.
Yeah.
It doesn't look sloppy. It looks unique, and you've just got to decide whether that's what you're going for.
These guys wear some wild stuff.
So to put Will Campbell in perspective for people, because this is where there's a break in the draft, where we go, okay, we knew Cam Ward, Abdul Carter.
I'm going to stop you right there. He's there, and he's walking
up
now.
Look how narrow his shoulders are.
He is such an odd body shape. He has no shoulders.
Yeah, he looks like a center or a guard, doesn't he?
Yes, unbelievable.
It's weird.
Wow, it is weird. It's odd.
I mean, he even looks
6'5",
like an interior offensive line.
320, but
tiny arm or tiny
shoulders. The shoulders are
width.
So weird.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Interesting.
He's so narrow. Think of this. He has 33-inch arms. That's the marker for being a tackle. But he's so narrow that he has the shortest wingspan ever for an offensive tackle at the combine. That makes no sense. I mean, and he looks it. He wears his suit, and his suit expands out at his stomach big time. But it's really tiny.
It looks kind of like a potato.
Yeah. He's a weird-looking dude. So to put this in perspective, because everybody knew Cam Ward, you know, usually a top 10 pick any year, but quarterbacks kind of go up. Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter were the blue chips. Those guys are top. You know, I think Abdul Carter, the rumor was, had he gone out last year, been eligible last year, he'd have gone 8. So top 10 picks. Will Campbell is where you see, okay, blue chippers are gone. Where do these guys start to stack up? Will Campbell, for most people in a traditional year, probably goes between 20 and 30. That tells you how steep the drop is. Again, Adam Schefter from ESPN said it. Daniel Jeremiah from NFL.com and the NFL said it. 5 through 32 this year have roughly the same grade. And it's not because everybody's normally 5, 6, 7. It's because a lot of these guys are late first rounders. And that's why you hear teams wanting to move back when they're in the later half of the draft and teams being so desperate to move up into 1, 2, or 3. All three teams that picked 1, 2, and 3 have now publicly, or at least to reporters, said, we received multiple calls from teams trying to get into that top three. It's going to be interesting to see where the movement goes now, because there isn't that big prize that teams are really willing to trade up for.
Genty.
But he's a running back. And if you draft him 6, you're paying him like he's a top 10 running back in the league right away. If you get him at 10, 11, 12, you're paying him like the 15th best running back in the league.
So where do you think he goes now, Genty?
Well, I'm really hoping he goes to the Bears.
Yeah, because of your bets. But what's probably Raiders now, right? Unless the Bears trade up.
I don't think so. I think that was a smokescreen. Pete Carroll did this with Seattle. They always had a guy that they liked, and they, you know, he did that press conference, and they said, you know, what do you guys think of Genty? And Pete Carroll pretends like he's covering the mic, and he's like, be careful, to the GM. And it's like, nobody really does that. Unless, you know, is it snip, snap, snip, snap? Are you actually playing games where you're like, let's hint at the guy we're taking? No one will see it coming.
The offense was ripping.
We'll see. But I if I'm the Raiders, I want to get my offensive line shored up. And I might even take a flyer and get a good receiver to pair with Brock Bowers. And suddenly I've got weaponry for Geno Smith and feel really good about it.
So that's Andrew Nemec. We're covering the NFL draft here. We've got the Browns picking next. And if you're just tuning in, that's because they traded out of the 2 spot with the Jags, who took Travis Hunter. So the Browns are next at 5, followed by the Raiders at 6, Jets at 7, Panthers at 8. One more question about, what do you think the Browns will do?
Well, I've seen, I've already
is it
seen,
leaking?
Yeah, it is leaking. They don't need a running back. They need to get better in the trenches.
Okay. Well, we'll wait for the pick.
Yeah, sure.
But who's leaking them? Is it Paul Allen again?
Jordan Schultz this time.
Oh, is he?
Schultzy.
The guy that got...
Schultzy? Our Schultzy?
Isn't that the guy that got in the fight at Starbucks?
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that guy.
It's a, by the way, Howard Schultz
if
kid.
You were going to bet on an NFL guy to be the leaker slash dude who gets in the fights at Starbucks...
Well, I predicted it. One of them was going to be...
That's who I would have put my money on.
Schultz?
Oh, yeah.
No, see, I predicted one of them was going to be...
you predicted Rappaport?
Yeah, Rappaport. That would be my guy. And he was one of the two.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
But he's the type to be snarky and say something, but not necessarily make it physical. Jordan Schultz is the dude who's like, you want to fight about it? That's
nice.
There's some of
well,
that.
Well, that, I mean, it happened.
Clearly, that's what happened.
It happened.
Right.
You got to call in NFL security. I mean, like, who the hell does that?
Yeah.
Good grief.
Not in his dad's place that he used to own, too. Like, in a Starbucks. Yeah. Like, be Howie. Less ironic, please.
I know.
By the way, the draft in Green Bay, they're not letting anyone else in anymore.
Dude, it's packed.
They've been at capacity
How many
since
people?
The draft started.
Do you know?
I don't know. But there are signs on the gate. Somebody took a picture of them that said, we are at capacity. We cannot let anybody else in.
So to be in this the general area, which is behind where the draft is happening, and some fans that are obviously paid money to be at the draft, there's like this GA area. Is that free?
I love Tesla.
I have no idea. Announce the selection. There are things I care about
with
the draft, and that's I know nothing.
Pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Cleveland Browns select Mason Graham, defensive tackle, Michigan.
Okay, what do you think?
So after makes sense. They needed interior defensive line help. Myles Garrett, I imagine, you know, he didn't want to necessarily re-sign with the Browns. They threw a lot of money at him, and they had a plan. And they said, we have a plan for getting better. One of the things you'd want to do is fix the interior so that Myles Garrett isn't getting triple teamed all the time. And also they have somebody to stop the run. And if you stop the run, and Mason Graham's quite good at it, you stop the run, and he can also push the pocket a little bit. Potentially, you get to a lot more third and longs. And if you get to more third and longs, and you've got more people that can get to the quarterback, that's good news for Myles Garrett.
Okay.
So I think some of this has to do with, let's put the pieces in place. We're not ready to win now. Let's not go get the quarterback.
Here's a piece.
Let's trade down. We'll get another first, and so we will be able to maneuver next year for the quarterback.
Okay.
But let's shore up everything else. Let's get better in the trenches. Let's fix our secondary. Let's fix things at receiver as this draft unfolds. And then you go, okay, next year we'll put our quarterback in a good situation.
Yeah, it seems like a prudent move by the Browns, which is not often the Browns' MO, but Mason Graham, he was good in college, Michigan. He was awesome. Undersized?
He's not going to be a nose tackle. You know, he's going to thrive more in a 4-3 than in a 3-4. He's a good football player. Again, this is everybody here. You go, well, there are holes to poke with Mason Graham. Mason Graham's tape's not what you'd think it would be for the number 5 pick. This is not a normal year. So there are times when he does kind of get lost for quarters at a time where you're like, he didn't really do anything. This is a dude who most years would probably be taken in the, again, 20 to 30 range.
Yeah, so, a lot of guys in that.
He's a decent football player. They had a need there. It fit. If they'd have gone Walter Nolan, that would have made sense. If they'd have gone, I mean, there's, you know, 20 guys right now that all have, depending on your scheme, all have roughly the same grade.
All right, so up next is the Raiders at 6, followed by the Jets, Panthers, and Saints. When we come back, we'll find out what Nemec thinks the Saints may do there at 9. We could be in for our next quarterback there. As NFL draft coverage continues here on 1080 The Fan.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, we are back covering the NFL draft here. While we were away, the Raiders made their selection at 6, and it was Boise State running back Ashton Jeanty.
It's a great pick for them. It makes sense, and that's why people said, you know, that they were the favorite very early in the process. They've got pieces. They've got Brock Bowers. They've got Geno Smith. Now they've got their running back. And Jeanty is potentially generational. He ran for 2,600 yards last year. One of the interesting things about it is he ran for 1,350 yards between the tackles and over 1,200 yards outside the tackles. So whether you bounce him to the outside or have him run inside, if you're an outside, you know, if you run outside zone or you want to run a gap scheme between the tackles, he's proven he can do all of it. He's exceptional. And so there's a lot to love in Ashton Jeanty. I think he's going to immediately be a top 5 or 6 running back in the league. I think he's absolutely special. His contact balance is, as they're showing on the clips on TV, is incredible. And I go back to early in the year, he had like 1,000 yards in his first, you know, 3.5 games or whatever. So he goes into that fifth game, and everyone's excited about it. Like they're almost to the point of the cutaway, like when McGuire's breaking, you know, the home run record to show Boise State stuff. I mean, they're updating what he's doing. The first carry, everyone knows he's getting the ball. He bounces off 2 tackles and houses it for 80 yards. And you're like, it's not 8 men in the box. It's not 9 men. All 11 dudes knew Boise State's running the ball here, and he scores anyway. And that's really special. And people have knocked him in that Penn State game. Well, Penn State looked across the line of scrimmage and went, well, we're better than you up front by a mile. You're not going to beat us at the skill positions. All we have to do is load the box, and Jeanty's not going to do anything. And he still played well. He didn't run for 200 yards, but he ran for almost 100, and he broke multiple tackles, and he always seemed to find the hole if it was there, when it was there. He's absolutely special.
Isn't that what Oregon did against him? And he busted a long one against them.
They had a couple of linebackers out, but same kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Oregon, superior athletes than Boise State, you know, in the trenches. Look at this draft. It's a perfect example. Jordan Burch is supposed to get drafted. Derek Harmon, Jamari Caldwell. Those guys are all probably not tonight, except for Harmon. But we're going to see him in day 2, day 3. And the Ducks tried to stop the run, and Jeanty killed him. He went for over 200 yards.
Yeah. Are we back to running backs being of great value? Is this like the Saquon Barkley effect, or is it just this one player?
No, we are. I think we forgot that however you can add dynamism to your offense, you should do it. And if you can do it at tight end, if you can do it at running back, if you can do it at receiver, great. Teams that have great offensive linemen, we've seen this with Saquon, we saw this with the Ravens with Derrick Henry. If you have a good offensive line and you have a solid quarterback, and you add that last piece, it's kind of like a young rookie quarterback. If you've got the other pieces in place and you bring in a rookie quarterback, he'll probably have success. If you have a good offense with a good offensive line and you're kind of missing a home run threat, you can bring in a dynamic running back and he can take you to the next level. Again, the Lions did it with Jahmyr Gibbs. We've seen this now with the elite teams in the league. The Niners did it with Christian McCaffrey. If you've got the pieces in place and a running back is your final piece, you're pretty good. I think this is the Raiders gambling on, okay, we've got a pretty good passing game. Our O-line really came together late in the year. We need to control the line of scrimmage when we play teams like the Chiefs. We don't want to get into shootouts. And how do we do that? Well, we grind things out a little bit, run the football. What's the best way to do it? Ashton Jeanty.
Jets 7, Panthers 8, Saints 9. You think the Saints will go quarterback, Jackson Dart?
I don't. I don't think there's, I think the odds are, it's really unlikely. At this point, I think the Saints could trade back into the first. It's so cheap, and this is the other factor. One, not a lot of great quarterbacks. Two, teams 20 on down are all trying to get out of the first round and add an extra three. Because just as players 5 through 32 have the same grade, the other thing everyone will tell you is there's a chunk of like 33 through 100 that are all pretty good, that are all better usually than what you get at pick 67. This is a weird year where suddenly you're heavy in the middle, you're fat in the middle with like 60 guys that carry second round grades. So teams will be able to move into that first cheaper. And it's like, let's get our premium player as good as we can. And then it's pretty cheap to move into the first round this year and get our Jackson Dart, our Jaden Milroe, our Shedeur Sanders, and we'll go that route. So I could see a couple different teams drafting twice tonight and getting premium player and then quarterback.
The quarterback. Player. Who do you think's the next quarterback?
Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I listen, Shadur's fine. My favorite Shedeur story, I watched his film. I try to comp really specifically when a player is going to be talked about. My comp for him, and I've told this story with Buck, was old Kirk Cousins or unathletic Brock Purdy.
Hmm.
I listened to a podcast with Robert Mays and Dane Brugler, and Robert Mays says to Dane Brugler something like, tell me why he's not just old Kirk Cousins. And Dane's like, I have the same thing. I just basically have Brock Purdy who can't run. And I was like,
I love Tesla.
No way. I mean, that's how obvious it is that he's kind of not the most physically gifted guy.
With the 7th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Armon Membu, Missouri. Tackle.
All right. Who's this cat?
Armon Membu went to Missouri. He probably has the highest ceiling of any.
He is a cat. He's a tiger.
That's right.
I see what you did there. Has probably the highest ceiling of any offensive lineman in this class.
He's not there.
He's played mostly right tackle.
Okay.
But very athletic. You could potentially move him to left. And sometimes guys are right tackles because they're huge, but don't move really well. That wasn't the case. He just happened to be put at right tackle and was good there. We don't know for sure that he can't just pivot to left and be a superstar. Armon Membu has a chance to really be a great player. And if you're the Jets looking here, you've definitely bolstered your offensive line in a big way, kind of an area of need. They've got good pieces there. Aaron Rodgers aside in New York, they kind of just feel like they're a couple guys away from being, you know, from elevating and being that next step. And it feels like Membu could really shore things up on the offensive line.
All right, that puts the Panthers on the clock, followed by the Saints and Bears. We'll take a break and come back with more NFL draft coverage here on 1080 The Fan.